I tell you what, I am so excited to get to preach to you today. I got out the oldest Bible I have just so that I could just dig deep. And, you know, I really, man, I'm telling you, I got a hot message for you today. It's just on fire, I'm telling you. It's amazing. Pages on that Bible is a little weird. All right. Well, if you got one that's not on fire, turn to Genesis chapter 6, all right? We're going to get started here this morning. So, I'm Pastor Jack. I'm the kids pastor, and I want to do something really quick. All of those of you that are watching online, we want to welcome you on July 4th. So, everybody, give them a shout. Woo! We love our online church. We love you this morning. God bless you. All right, so this morning I'm going to talk to you out of the book of Genesis chapter 6. And I can't read it to you because my pages are burnt. So I'm just going to tell it to you. It's the story of Noah. Most of you know that story. And so I titled my message this morning, there it is, But God Remembered Noah. So the story about Noah, we all know it, but I'm going to refresh your memory. You see, Noah's age wasn't too far after the beginning of time. You know that God created the heavens and the earth, and then Adam and Eve, and sin came into the garden and into the world, and they got kicked out of the garden. And they began to multiply, and it wasn't just too much longer that Noah became part of the scene in those days. And so, the Bible says that man became so wicked and so full of sin that God regretted making them. Now, that's a pretty serious statement from our God, isn't it? When he regrets something that he did. And it kind of reminds me of today, huh? That we think that the sin is so rampant today. But anyway, so God looked at the earth and he saw the man and how sinful they were. And he decided, you know what? I regret doing this and I'm going to wipe them out. But he saw a man named Noah that was a righteous man, the Bible says. It says that he was a righteous man. And so we see that he saw him, and God saved a remnant of what he had created through Noah. And so anyways, he talks to Noah, and he tells Noah, he says, hey, Noah, he says, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to wipe everything out, the people. I'm going to wipe out the birds of the air, every living creature, the ones that crawl on the ground. I'm wiping them all out. And he said, I'm going to bring a flood. He said, so this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to build a boat. And he said, I want you to build it by these plans. And I want us to see that God came to Noah and he began to speak to him. He didn't just ask Noah to find out what's going on, say, hey, I got a plan. I hope you figure it out. No, Noah received the plans from God. God spoke to him and he gave him the plans. He said, I want you to build it this long. I want you to build it this high. I want it to have three floors. He gave him every detail that he needed so that Noah could build this boat. And I want you to see something else that he gave Noah. You see, Noah was 600 years old when God called him to do this. He wasn't no spring chicken, okay? And so he was 600 years old. And I want you to see that Noah also received from God not only the plans, but he received the strength to do what he needed to do. He received the endurance, and he received the wisdom. God gave him the wisdom, the strength, and everything that he needed to build this ark. So he didn't just say, hey, Noah, I'm calling you to do this, and I want you to do it. Good luck, buddy. So I want you to understand that, you know, you and I today, whenever God asks us to do something, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to give you a plan. He's going to lower it. He's going to give you the calling. He's going to say, this is what I want you to do. And then he's also going to equip you. He's not just going to say, all right, there you go. You're on your own. Figure it out. No. He's going to give you a plan. He's going to tell you how to do it. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to open the doors and the windows for you to allow you to do what he's calling you to do. Then I want us to see the next thing that he did. God caused the animals to come to Noah. He knew that Noah wasn't like this animal whisperer, you know. He wasn't going to just, you know, come on, guys. It wasn't going to happen that way. So God himself brought the animals, and they began to show up and loaded up onto the boat. And so they came into the boat two by two, the Bible says. And then I want you to see the next thing that happens, that Noah is told by God, all right, I'm fixing to start the rain. It's fixing to happen. And so Noah and his family, they enter into the ark, and Noah didn't have to shut the door. God, the Bible says God shut the door and sealed it. Man, I'm telling you what, to me, that's pretty powerful. Because when I think about me and my family, and I think about, God, I'm putting them in your hands, you know, sometimes we get a little worried, don't we? We think, how's things going to work out? But I'm telling you today that God is shutting the door and he's sealing it on you and your family. When you dedicate your family to him and you dedicate your life to him and you become that righteous man like Noah is, I'm telling you what, you'll be shut into the ark of safety in your life and for you and your family. Amen. And then I want us to see that all of a sudden God causes the springs of the earth to start springing up and he causes the rain to start falling. And the rain, the Bible says, fell for how many days? Anybody know this story? 40 days. How many nights? Man, you guys went to kids' church, didn't you? Somebody taught you. So it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the rain began to rise up. And as the rain began to rise, here comes the ark. The ark starts loosening up from the ground, starts floating up, didn't it? And so we see that all of that begins to happen. And I want you to think about this for just a moment, because we talked about Noah being a righteous man. Noah being a righteous man, there's two qualities that I see about Noah. One, he was obedient. My goodness, here's Noah, never done any of this stuff before. Most theologians don't even think that it had ever really rained at this time. They believe that it was just the dew and the mist of the morning that kept the plants and animals alive. And so and now here they're seeing their first rainstorm possibly. I don't know if that's true or not. It may have rained every day. I don't know. But they say that. And so it starts to rain. And here's Noah. He's doing all these things. And he's very obedient throughout his life. You know, it didn't just take a week to build this thing. It took a long time for him to build this ark. And every day I'm sure it was very hard to get up and to get out there and to do what he had to do. But he did it because he was an obedient man. The next thing, quality I want us to see out of Noah is that, man, he had faith. He had faith. And he, you know, when you take and you're going to put yourself into an ark and let God shut the door, and think about this for a minute. Can you imagine when that ark started to rise up and started floating? Noah probably went back to his plans. Okay, wait. Where's the steering wheel? Is there plans for a rudder? Wait. You know, there's not one. You see? Because then God told Noah, he said, look, I'm going to take you where I need you to go. You don't need a steering wheel. You don't need a rudder. I'm going to handle that. I'll get you where you need to be. And then I'm sure Noah began to think, well, I didn't even put a sail on this thing. Where's the power going to come from? The motors hadn't been invented. How am I going to get this thing powered? And God said, I'm going to be your power. I'm all the power you need. And so you see the faith that Noah had whenever you begin to think about this thing. And so we see here that the rain stops, and there is the ark. It's just out there floating, and Noah and his family are out there, and they're thinking, okay, the rain stopped. Now what? The waiting game. Now, isn't that the difficult part for you and I? Sometimes we want God to do things and do it right now. God, we need you to do it now. You rained for 40 days. At least it's dried up in 40 days, but that's not the case. The Bible says it took over 150 days for everything to dry up and for the ark to come to a place of ground. And so I want you to see this verse here in verse 8, Genesis 8:1a. It says, but God remembered Noah. So here they are. They're floating out on this water. The rain has stopped. And you can imagine Noah and his family. They're like, now what? What do we do? Where is God? I hadn't heard from him since it started raining. Well, the Bible says, but God remembered Noah. Think about this. Right after the biggest storm in his life. I'm not talking just the weather. I'm talking about the biggest storm in his life. You got to think about this with Noah for just a minute. Noah was a righteous man. That means he was well-loved. A righteous man goes around, he has a lot of friends. Every one of Noah's friends died in that flood. The Bible says that Noah was able to take his wife, his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and put them and their wives into the ark with him, and those are the only ones that were saved. He had other family. He probably had a grandma or aunt, cousins. He lost them all. He lost his job. He lost his home. He lost everything. This was the biggest storm that Noah had ever faced in his life. And the Bible says here, but God remembered Noah. I'm telling you this morning, I believe there's someone in this place. You're going through the storm of your life. You are going through the storm of your life, and you're beginning to think, where is God? I haven't heard from him in a while. What's going on? I want you to know this morning, but God remembers you. God knows you. He knows where you are. He created you. Amen. He created you in his image and in his likeness, and he hasn't forgotten your name or where you're at, and he has the ability to get you where he wants you to be, and he has the power to get you there. Amen. So this morning, I want us to look at those things with Noah. And so we're gonna get moving a little bit further here. And so it says that God, he caused the rains to stop. And this morning, we're just going to do a little something here as I talk. So he causes the storm to stop, and the rains have stopped, and Noah's floating on there, the Bible says. And says that it took some time, and then he opened up the window and he sent out the bird, and the bird went out and flew around for a while. And he came back. Wasn't no place for him to land, so he came back to the ship. Or the ship. Man, I'm getting modern on you now, aren't we? Noah built a ship. We found out Noah's a shipbuilder. So Noah came back to the ark and he was empty-handed. And so Noah waited. Does anybody know how many days Noah waited before he sent it back out? He waited 7 days. 7 days. How many of you have ever waited on God for 7 days? How many of you ever waited on him longer than that? Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've been praying for my children for a long time. I've been praying for him for a long time. I'm waiting, but I know God's faithful. Amen? Amen. So as he's waiting on him, and he finally, on the 7 days later, he goes and he sends out the bird again. The bird flies around, and well, before you know it, he's coming back, and he's got an olive branch in his beak. So Noah, that's a big sign to him. It's a big sign to him that the waters have receded, and that everything is starting to come back to life, that there's life out there. And so the Bible says that the ground, God caused the winds to come and dried up the ground. And the ground dried up, and the ark came to a place of rest. And when it did, Noah and his family, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, their wives, Noah's wife, said they all got out of the ark. And the first thing they did when they got out of the ark, first thing they did was they built an altar. They made a sacrifice to God, a sacrifice of praise for getting them through the storm, for bringing them to a place of safety, for keeping them through the storm. And so as they begin to make this sacrifice, it's not just a sacrifice, you know, because they wanted something. It was a sacrifice because they had already received something. Amen? And so what God does is God hears and sees their sacrifice. And God says, you know what, Noah? He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. You guys will come. He said, I want to make a covenant with you. He said, I'm never, ever, ever going to destroy the earth by flood again. The next day. He said, I'm just going to do that. And he said, I'm going to give you a my covenant between you and them. Thank you. Just popping too much. And so he said, I'm going to make a covenant between you and he said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to make a promise to you. But he says in this verse, he says, but it's for you and for all future generations. That's you and me.
Amen. He says, I'm going to put my rainbow in the sky. And here we are. We have a little rainbow here today in a jar. The kids' church loves that. I hope y'all do too. So. He says, I'm making you a promise. I'm never going to do that again. And you know what I began to think about is that, man, this is just one promise. How many of you have seen a rainbow in the sky? You've seen God's work at hand, right? You've seen his hand. Every time we see that rainbow, that's a symbol and a reminder of the promise of God that he's never going to do that again. I got to thinking about that, and I thought about all the promises that God has in his word. Man, have you ever looked at all the promises in God's word? You need to. But you know, there's two promises I want to highlight today. Because if you're here today and you're like, Pastor Jack, I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. I don't know how all of that worked and anything about Christ and who he is. I want you to know that Jesus came and he died for you and me so that we don't have to pay this price of sin. The wages of sin is death. So if we were to die in our sin, we deserve death. But if we die covered in the blood of Jesus, then we're covered. Our debt has been paid. There needs to be no payment for our sacrifice because the sacrifice has already been made. Jesus made it himself. And so for you and I, there's promises in the word. The very first one is John, 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Man, what a promise that is. What a promise that is for you and I as sinners in this world that Jesus has paid the price. And what we have to do is confess our sins. Here in a minute, we're going to be baptizing two young people that have confessed their sins. And Jesus has came in and they've made him Lord of their life. And because they have held on to this promise, they understand this promise is true and real. And you know, I did not tell Michelle what I was going to speak on. But that song, The Waymaker, and she talked about the promises of God. Man, I'm telling you what, it just fit right with what I'm talking about today, the promises of God. Let me show you another one here in Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. What a promise. What a promise that is. And so this morning, I just want to give you a chance. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or maybe you've asked him in and you've just kind of turned away and you've been away from him for a while. You haven't talked to him. You haven't read your word. You haven't been seeking his face, walking with him. You've been doing your own thing. Man, let me tell you right here, if you'll declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, I just want you to pray with me. We're going to pray that sinner's prayer this morning, give you an opportunity to receive Christ into your heart this morning. I want you to understand, though, if you do this morning, the Bible is full of other promises that you can live by, that you can hang on to. And God will never, ever break a promise to you or I. You see, we look in that rainbow in the sky, and that's just a reminder of one of the promises he made thousands and thousands of years ago. He's still telling us, here's my sign, here's your sign, here's your sign. I'm still here. I'm still preparing a place for you. I still want you. I still love you. I'm still seeking you. I'm still chasing after you. So this morning, let's pray. Repeat this prayer with me, if you will. Dear Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are Lord. You died for my sin. And now, Jesus, I ask that you'd come into my heart. Wash my sins away and help me from this day forward to live for you. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you receive Jesus this morning, amen. We're so excited about the decision that you made. If you'll fill out that card there. We'll send you something in the mail. We're not going to come knock on your door, but we will send you something in the mail that'll give you your next steps with Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to get our baptism ready. So Mason and Tori, you're going to be baptized this morning. We're going to celebrate. This is a holiday weekend. We're going to celebrate. Amen. All right.